Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
We got Rotten Tomatoes and news coming your way. Very tight Rotten Tomatoes game and a funny news. First, I'll tell you about LifeLock. Even basic information means email addresses and phone numbers have value on the black market. Cyber criminals use it to gain access to more sensitive information. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives. Every day, we put our info at risk on the internet. You can miss certain threats by just monitoring your credit alone. Good thing there's LifeLock. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number for sale on the dark web. If they detect your information, they will send you an alert. If you become a victim of identity theft, LifeLock can help restore your identity easier than you could on your own. It's LifeLock, right, Dawson?
Known to prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. LifeLock can see threats you might miss on your own. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year by using promo code Adam. Call 1-800-LifeLock or head to LifeLock.com. Use promo code Adam for 25% off.
Real men are an endangered species, shouted down and hunted. But Adam knows you're out there, alone in a sea of cowards. That's why he built a place for you rare breeds to come together. That's why he created Renaissance Man. At RenManUSA.com, you'll find your one-stop shop for all the products that Adam and real men like yourselves actually want. Things for the outdoorsman, the drinker, the driver, and yes, the lover. Renaissance Man is where Corolla fans go to find carefully curated gifts, vacation packages, and articles on things that are actually interesting, not blogs about which statues should go next. It's a calling card, a place for those who understand that the noblest pleasure in life is living it well. Head to RenManUSA.com for yourself or the man in your life, and get ready because this Christmas, Adam Carolla brings you Renaissance Man. Adam Carolla's I'm Your Emotional Support Animal, navigating our all-woke, no-joke culture, has over 1,000 five-star reviews on Amazon. Here's one.
With Hilarious Reed, as in his podcast, he writes the candor, common sense, and humor on you during this time. Freedom and truth speak are crucial community and should be fought, and any cause you ask political correctness need to obliterate. Isaiah Carolla for president.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Pick up I'm Your Emotional Support Animal, navigating our all-woke, no-joke culture, and leave your five-star review on Amazon. Get all the links at AdamCarolla.com.
All right. Do that. Get that book and leave a review on Amazon. I do read those reviews. All right. We ready to play the little Rotten Tomatoes game?
Listen to that noise. That's a high falsetto.
And the gang makes their picks, guessing if it's rotten or fresh.
If they guess it exactly, we'll get a bonus five.
It's the Rotten Tomatoes game. You know how we do it. Give me the Rotten Tomatoes game. Now it's time to play it.
All right, so Halloween is finally here in six more days, five more days. And the Rotten Tomatoes game is going to hell. Kaiser Soze once said, "The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist." Well, guess what? He does exist. And they made a ton of movies about him to prove it. This week, we're shining a big red spotlight on movies that feature an appearance from the Prince of Darkness. Before Adam Sandler was the darling of Netflix, he made a movie about being the son of Satan, who has no interest in continuing the family business. Harvey Keitel co-stars as the man in red, but it's up to little Nicky to restore the balance between good and evil on Earth. From 2000, Little Nicky.
I have seen this movie maybe more than once.
Wow.
I study it like the guys from the transportation department try to put together a DC-9 that has crashed. It's horrible, but somebody has to reconstruct it. Like, I just look at it, and I just try to reassemble it, and I'm trying to make sense of it. Like, why? What happened? What went wrong? Was it pilot error? Was it catastrophic mechanical failure? But I know everyone just goes along like, hey, I want to enjoy myself at the movies. Not me. I want to know what happened. I am reconstructing. It's like those things where it's like first the school shooter came in the front door and then the school shooter turned down the main hall. Like it's morbid, it's grotesque, but somebody has to do it.
Yeah.
This
not for the faint of heart.
This movie, and it's weird because Sandler's such a funny guy and he's such a talented guy. This movie, like, it's just like, what the fuck? Like, what were you doing? Like, what? First things first, why did anyone think this was a good idea? It seems so bizarre. It's like Sandler is a very smart guy, he's a very talented guy, and he's a very nice guy. Why make this decision? Mm-hmm. It is like, it's nonsensical. He's doing this weird character where he's like, okay, with the
most of his characters.
No,
I mean, yeah. Especially weird voice in
especially,
this.
He's especially weird in this. It's the kind of thing where, like, I don't know, 11 days into shooting, I probably just went to one, you know what, let's just go home. Like, what the fuck? Is this going to work?
Let's throw good money after bad.
Right. So let's pack it in. They should have done with this what they did, whatever California did with the bullet train. That's what they should have done with this. It's like, oh, fuck it. We wasted enough money.
Cut your losses.
This is insultingly bad. And it's bad. And I'm doing what Brian won't do, which is I am telling you this is not bad for an Adam Sandler movie. It is bad for a bad Adam Sandler movie. Like, you know, there's the good ones and the bad ones. This is probably the bottom of the bad ones. And with
First of all, I'm very honest with you guys all the time.
You take liberties. I've seen a scene or two, which is why I know what he sounds like. But that was very thorough and appreciated, Adam.
It's bizarrely bad. I don't think it's going to be zero, but I don't know who would have given it a positive review. 11%.
Only a little higher, 21.
I started at 11. I ended up at 7.
Mm. Oh, my.
Little Nicky is rotten.
Oh, yeah.
At 22.
Oh, wow.
Now we're talking.
Who liked this movie? All right.
War has erupted in the United States, between the United States and Canada, over the censorship of the ultra-vulgar new Terrence and Phillip movie. Will the boys of South Park restore peace, or will an overly emotional Satan and his horny boyfriend Saddam Hussein take over the world? Find out in 1999's South Park, Bigger, Longer, and Uncut.
God, this was good.
Yeah, great movie.
God, I don't think I've seen it.
It's not. Oh, you must.
99.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's pretty great.
All right. So.
I thought it was going to be like a cash grab. It was only a couple of years after the TV series premiered, and it ended up being really good.
The musical numbers will not disappoint.
Is Blame Canada in this one?
Yep. That's right. Oscar nominated.
All right. Critics love this kind of stuff. So. It's crass. A lot of dirty language, but the critics love this kind of stuff. But there's some of them are a little uptight. That's why I give it 81.
Oh,
pretty close. I think it rubs some critics the wrong way, but overall is a great movie. 87.
I would have gone higher, but I went with 86.
South Park, Bigger, Longer, and Uncut is certified fresh.
Oh, yeah.
At 80%.
Ooh, okay.
Oh, okay.
And the people have it 88. All right. We got a game on our hands, people.
After Bill and Ted's excellent adventure traveling through time, the two slackers come face to face with evil robot copies of themselves who kill both heroes. Determined to escape the afterlife, Bill and Ted set out on a bogus journey to outwit the Grim Reaper and stop the tormenting of, you guessed it, Satan. From 1991, Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey.
Original title, Bill and Ted Go to Hell. The studio didn't like it.
Oh, All right. So this is the second. They've done three, right? I never saw any of these, so I don't know.
First one's great. A legit good movie.
Yeah.
This probably is not loved, but the characters are likable. And
do you know who plays the Grim Reaper there?
No.
William Sadler. If you guys put up some pictures of William Sadler there, Chris, he plays one of the guys in Shawshank. He's one of those characters. Like, oh yeah, that guy. And he's unrecognizable here.
All right. So, you know, it's a follow-up, sequel. Critics aren't going to be kind. I didn't hear anything great about it. Yeah, there he is. I didn't hear anything great about it. But it could still be 56%.
It could.
It could also be 14%.
When Carell throws out a number, everyone listen.
That's right. I am going to say rotten at 44%.
I played it safe, barely fresh at 61.
I thought I played it safe, barely rotten at 50.
Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey is rotten at 57.
No, damn it. Mm. Why don't I listen to me listening to you?
Oh, this is close.
What did you guys say?
I said 44. 61 and 44.
Well, Keanu Reeves faces off against the devil again, this time in the form of screaming, spitting, over-the-top Al Pacino. Aspiring defense attorney Kevin Lomax takes an offer to work for a high-powered New York law firm, but as his wife, played by Charlize Theron, continues to have frightening visions, Kevin learns the truth about who he's really working for. From 1997, The Devil's Advocate.
He's an absentee landlord!
I have no idea. I have no interest in these types of movies. They made a bunch of them like in the 90s. And it was like, there's like Johnny Depp version of this. And I don't know why. What is wrong with this genre, Brian, that I just don't, it bothers me. I'm not into it.
There's some crossover with some of the action movies you like Cobra and such. I don't know if this is even a good movie, but it is enjoyable. I've rewatched this many times. Again, I don't think it's that good, but it's junk food. You know what I mean? It's a big juicy cheeseburger. It's Al Pacino doing crazy shit. Charlize Theron, Chris, do us all a favor and put up some stills of Charlize Theron from this movie. She's gorgeous. First time I ever laid my eyes on her was this movie.
But I'm with Adam on the genre. This is like the 90s power tie genre that just doesn't do anything for me.
Yeah, with the gold clip.
Yeah.
Yeah, the safety pin pulling the collar in. I have no idea. I've never seen this movie. I can't imagine it's fresh. On the other hand, good performers and who knows.
Good Lord.
For that, I give it 55.
Oh, right there with you. Barely rotten at 58.
I stuck with my 50 again.
Yeah, Charlize Theron with the
hair. Ogilvy home perm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Theron.
Oh, Theron. Sorry. Right. She's got the oh God.
I went with straight hair. Then Ted called, so I went curly.
Well, she does play kind of Florida trash, you know what I mean? Like a little bit, so that kind of makes sense with the character.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think of her hair. She has the same hair as Bernadette Peters.
Yeah, that's tight
Bernadette
little
Peters hair. All right, what do we got?
The Devil's Advocate is fresh.
Oh.
That's 63.
Ooh. What'd you guys say? You did 50. Brian, what'd you do?
58.
Ooh. Oh, all right. Brian has got a lead here. We're going to have to get him.
Yeah,
and it just wouldn't be Halloween without a little witchcraft. In this Disney cult classic, the Sanderson sisters, played by Bette Midler, Sarah Jessica Parker, and Kathy
Najimy.
Gina, this is your zone.
I can't wait to tell you a secret about this movie. Go ahead.
They're brought back to life on Halloween night to roam the streets of Salem. Along the way, they encounter Satan, their master, who's actually a schlubby guy dressed in a devil costume and played by Gary Marshall. From 1993... Hocus Pocus.
I've never seen this. I don't know anything about it. It's somehow making a resurgence right now. I couldn't tell you the first thing about it.
Is this our last one, Dawson?
Yes. Wait, what's Gina? What's your secret about this movie?
The secret? I've never seen it. Oh. This is not. I could not tell you anything about it. But aren't you seeing a lot of it now? Are they doing some?
There was a resurgence for this.
Yeah.
Maybe because of the Disney Plus.
Wait.
Yeah, it's totally my generation's movie of like all my friends watch this constantly. Jesus.
That's what I mean. I was too young for this.
I must say, Gina, I got myself emotionally built up for your big secret about this movie.
Sorry.
I'm slightly dismayed
that
your big secret was I didn't see it. Please.
Brian thinks this is, I would have a tattoo of this on my back. I don't know anything about this movie. Nothing.
Please never write a tell nothing book. All right. Well, Brian has a lead. It's not insurmountable, but it's a lead. It's a solid lead. So, and Gina and I are just kind of pecking around the corners of Brian's Triscuit. And
I've never seen this either. I don't know what to do.
We're going to have to pick up a few here. So we're going to have to go big or small. Brian's going to have to kind of protect the lead. So he's going to have to try to find a kind of a middle ground here.
Right.
Now, it's Disney, you know, women in charge, never hurts for a few points. I am going to have to go small with 22.
Oh,
this will determine the game because I assumed, like you said, it was Disney. I'm sure there's some charm to this. Chris seems to speak of it fondly. 66.
You said go big or go home. You took the floor. I took the ceiling. I said 83.
Oh,
this will determine the game.
Will determine it.
Hocus Pocus is rotten.
Damn it.
At 37%.
Oh, look at you.
May have been enough. Woo. Oh,
I just gained 30 points on that one.
Yeah, good night, everybody.
Gina's out. I have no idea where me and Brian are. Can't be separated by much.
Very tight game.
Very tight.
Gina Grad, congratulations on your third place finish.
Thank you.
A score of 87 points. Oy. We're close to cutting those in half for Brian and the Ace Man.
Bald. Tell Chris to shut the fuck up next time. Fox is poetic about Hocus Pocus.
I wasn't waxing. I'm just saying this is like this.
I love it. It's my favorite
you
movie
did
from
me
like
dirty,
the Sandlot.
Chris. For
the guy, the guy eats the whole shrimp, Brian.
Yeah.
Maybe you take advice from him.
Maybe it's a case of Brian's magic working against him, where he, tells everyone that a movie's great and then gives it a horrible score. I think Chris did the same thing to him. Bald Brian coming in with a score of 46.
Never done that.
Leaves us Adam Carolla.
Oh, boy.
A shot out of the ballpark for the last movie. An upper decker, we like to call it. And a congratulations is due to you, Adam Carolla, for second place. You got 48.
No! No! I bought into it.
Me and you, Brian.
Chris, you're the best. I take back everything I said.
I went right down that road with you, too, Dawson.
2 points.
Right there, 2 points. Wow. I must have made up 25 at the end. But either way. All right. Well, speaking of that, I need some better help. Overwhelmed, anxious, lost your 15th consecutive Rotten Tomatoes game. Depressed, better help. Online, licensed professional counselors who are trained to listen and help. Look, everybody, especially these days, man, you got to get your head straight. And when you get your head together, then you can go out and do all the other things that make your life happy and prosperous. So let's get that going first. Connect with your counselor in a safe, private online environment. Everything shared is confidential. Fill out a questionnaire to assess your needs and get matched in under 48 hours. Easy to schedule secure video or phone sessions, plus exchange unlimited messages. If for any reason you're unhappy with your counselor, request a new one anytime at no charge. So join the over 1 million people using BetterHelp right now. Right, Dawson?
BetterHelp is a truly affordable option, and our listeners get 10% off your first month with the discount code Corolla. So why not get started today? Go to BetterHelp.com/Corolla. That's BetterHelp.com/Corolla. Talk to a therapist online and get help.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back with the news right after this.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Need news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
All right, I'll start off with a question. Did anybody watch the new Borat movie this weekend?
Running late on that one.
I did not.
Please do not sleep on this movie. It is great. You know, sequels can be tough, and how could they possibly do that? Everyone knows who he is. Well, they make it work, and they actually even wink at that and play into that as well. So very well done movie. But, you know, Rudy Giuliani's not happy about it. And I actually have the clip from the movie to show you why. But Borat has come to his defense. First, do you want to see the clip or sure. Should we talk about the defense? Okay. This is the clip from the movie that is getting a lot of airtime. This is the woman playing his daughter.
I'm so sorry. That's horrible.
About a minute long.
Okay. I'm so sorry for that. Really, apologize.
Apology accepted. No problem.
Flirting with him.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you again for giving me this time.
Shall we have a drink in the bedroom?
Rose are in the hotel bedroom.
What up?
Helping her get her mic off.
There you go, my dear.
Okay.
There you go. You can give me your phone number and your address.
Oh, my.
Pats her on the butt. He's leaning over him, trying to get his mic off, but, you know, kind of. Back on the bed, hands down his pants.
Put down your crumb. She's 15. She's too old for you.
Why are you trying to?
She's my daughter. Please, take me instead. Take my anus.
No,
take my anus. Do not have her.
I'm better than him.
No, I better. My back pussy very tight.
No, please, my front anus.
Please, I will let you enjoy my crumb in your mouth. No, I better.
Okay, I would love to.
I was in prison.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just old, but I'm not. I'm like uncomfortable.
Oh, it was very uncomfortable.
You're not going to enjoy the movie then?
Okay.
I'm just like, I told you. Uncomfortable.
I told you there were many things about this movie, about this type of humor that I'm not like, it doesn't work for me anymore, but he's Sasha, man. He makes everything funny.
I wouldn't typify it as him with his hands down his pants. I think he was tucking his shirt back in. Like, I wouldn't.
Really?
Well, okay. Hands down his pants sounds like something.
Okay.
Well,
I mean, his hand was down his pants.
Well, yeah. But
I don't know if he was tucking his shirt in. I don't know if he was getting his mic off. I don't know what he was doing. I just saw his hand down his pants. That's I'm literally just telling you what it is.
Okay.
I don't know what he's doing with it.
No, I'm saying if you walked into a bedroom and you go, the guy's got his hands down his pants, it sounds like something different than if you're tucking your shirt in or doing something with your mic. You know what I'm saying?
Does it? I really don't know. Do you think he was doing something with his mic or tucking his shirt back in?
I think he was tucking his shirt back in, but I don't. Let's just say he was going for his junk. I mean, let's say he was beating off or something. That'd be weird.
That didn't appear like that to me. It was either a mic or tucking shirt in action.
It looked like he was tucking his shirt in.
But
you have to put your hand for a while.
Yeah. Let's watch that part again.
All right. He leans back. Looks like he's pushing his shirt down.
But you know, I've never worn a man's dress shirt, so you could be right about that.
You have to push it. You have to kind of get it back in.
Really settle it. Well, Borat has come to Giuliani's defense, you could say. He put up this viral video and wants to lend his expertise.
Yag Shamash, I here to defend America's mayor, Rudolph Giuliani. What was an innocent, sexy time encounter between a consenting man and my 15-year-old daughter have been turned into something disgusting by fake news media. I warn you, anyone else try this, and Rudolph will not hesitate to reach into his legal briefs and whip out his subpoenas. Cienkuyi.
He's getting a lot of mileage out of that.
Oh, it's funny. Yeah, I'm going to watch. No, I'm not going to watch. It gets me. I can't even watch cop shows where they bust people and stuff anymore. Yeah. I just feel, I don't know. I'm too old. Like, I can't see people getting busted or making hidden camera stuff.
I'm the exact same way. And there were parts, of course, that were like that. But I have to say, the only part you'll really need to fast forward is the debutante ball. And that's all I'll say about that. When you see them go to the debutante ball, keep it moving.
All right.
So, Adam, you have a lot in common, or at least one very important thing in common with Ryan Reynolds that I don't think you know about. Hmm. His birthday was October 23rd, and his wife, Blake Lively, put him on blast for his birthday dessert request. Reynolds chose a birthday pie.
Yeah.
That did not sit well with Blake. She shared photos, and we have those, of her 44-year-old husband before he blew out the candles, saying, one, who's the lost soul that selects birthday pie? And then she said, what animal eats their cake / pie without first blowing out their candles? Because you can see there's a little chunk missing in the corner. Happy birthday, Ryan. I honestly can't believe we're still married. He got like four different pies for his birthday.
You know, it takes a big man to admit this, but as I get older, I drift closer to cake. Now, I don't know if that's just my adult this sensibilities. Or I think it's more a case of cake upping its fucking game.
You're 100% right. The grocery store sheet cake is a thing of the past. Yeah. Like, the cakes are great these days.
Yeah, all the fucking cakes. Someone would go to Ralph's, get a fucking sheet cake. And like I said, if you want to know how a sheet cake tastes, just hold your tongue when you say sheet cake. And if you want to know what the real name for flag football should be, just hold your tongue again when you say flag football. Those are all the truths you need to know in life. But yeah, some asshole would
go. What are you talking about?
I literally told that to my son yesterday. He's like, I know, hold my tongue and say flag football. So someone would go to fucking Ralph's and they'd get one of these vanilla sheet cakes with the white lard on top of it, and they go, I brought a cake to the party, you know. So I was like, blah. There was a chocolate version but now I did not see the red velvet cake, you know. That's not something I dealt with when I was coming up. When I was doing my initial pie versus cake evaluations, the cake was the fucking sheet cake from Ralph's, and the pie was just pie because of its greatness has not had to evolve. It's an alpha predator. It's an apex predator. That's what pie is. Pie is a fucking polar bear. It's a lion. It's a Bengal tiger. It's fucking Sasquatch. And
a buttery crust.
It's a shark.
And a great white shark, like all in the one. Like, why do you have to get better at being pie? You're fucking pie. You're the alpha predator. So pie's just remained. Cake has been like, we better fucking up our game, and up their game they have. I mean, getting
with buttercream,
the buttercream frostings, and they're still doing all the fruit in the centers now and everything like that.
And what's the cake from Mastro's? That's butter cake.
Oh yeah, the butter cakes.
Oh,
the lemon cakes, now all the different fruit flavors. So cake is up.
It's come a long way.
Of this game, and I'm trying to be intellectually honest here by saying, because cake has upped its game, it shall be recognized as such.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like for some reason we need to get Damashek on the phone. Like, like everyone needs to know where you stand.
Don't ever say that.
Yeah.
So if you've ever read Three Little Pigs and thought, there's just not enough women in this story, Natalie Portman has solved that problem for you. Mm. She wrote a book called Natalie Portman's Fables, where she took three classics, Three Little Pigs, The Tortoise and the Hare, and The Country Mouse and City Mouse, and made them more gender inclusive. For example, the tortoise in The Tortoise and the Hare is a lady tortoise. As to why she did this, Natalie says, when I was reading the book, I was struck by how the classic stories had overwhelmingly male characters, and thinking, what am I telling my kids, both my son and my daughter, about whose stories are important to tell and also whose lives they should care about?
You know, as I think about my daughter, who's kind of like a force of nature with all her friends, her 14-year-old friends who are all over today. They're all watching. They're all, the volleyball team is all there, and they're having like a volleyball thing in the backyard, and Sonny's in his room crying and popping a zit, and these girls are like, they're fucking large and in charge. Like, there's not an ounce of, where's my role model? Like, right. I don't know who or what the role models were. I don't know how necessary it was. They're just fucking making hay while the sun shines. Like, the girls are organized. They're like energetic. They're out there. The guys are kind of hanging back and playing video games and kind of talking to one another on a headset. As far as I can tell, at least from my little sampling in my neighborhood, the girls are crushing it and the guys are kind of fair to middling. I don't know that we need to I don't know that my daughter needs to see feminine role models or feminine characters and everything. She's too busy just chewing up the real estate. Right. So good. Couldn't hurt. But I would push back against that. We don't have, you know, role models, or we don't have, or it's important. First off, I always just looked at the turtle or the pig. It's just a pig or a turtle.
Genderless.
I didn't really assign genitalia to them. But the pigs would wear sport coats with no pants. How could they have a gender assigned to them? It'd be grotesque and bizarre. Right. But anyway, Natalie Portman. Ugh.
It's funny because growing up, you know, of course, the Disney princess was just everything and everything. And even the ones from the 40s, we didn't have a ton of them, you know, like in the mid 80s. It was all still the ones, you know, of yesteryear. And now it of course, it looks outdated for, you know, I'm waiting for someone to find me. You know, it's all just wait for the man to kiss you and you'll wake up, wait for the man to save you. That does seem trite now, and it does seem sort of silly because the Disney princess has evolved. But yeah, when it comes to fables, this is not something that I think is on anyone's radar.
Well, thank you, Natalie Portman. Saver of youth.
Does she place on the list of women who disgusted us?
Oh, yeah. She's a perennial. She's an all-star.
She's not.
She's frequently in the top 10. She may have been in the top 5 a few years. She's got to be up there. She would be disgusted. She would never stop throwing up.
She'd be disgusted to not make the top 10.
Oh, yeah. Oh, if she didn't make the top 10. She came in 12th one year, and we got a call from her publicist. Not happy.
This is an outrage.
Mike had to handle that call. Yeah, she was livid. All right, what else, Gina?
Well, I don't know if you guys saw this in local news at the beginning of last week, but it is worth highlighting. A shoplifter was in a police chase in LA on last Tuesday, and at one point he stopped for gas. I watched this with my jaw drop because we see a lot of chases. I've never seen that before. He managed to fill up before the cops got there, and then he took off driving for another hour. The guy allegedly shoplifted from a Home Depot in Glendora, California, sped off when the cops came. Classic Southern California police chase was on. And at one point, the guy pulls into the gas station. I'm have that for you in a second. And he even runs in to pay because, you know, in LA, you got to pay first. He fills up. He takes off again. He drove for more than an hour, and then he pulled into a parking garage near downtown LA, ran off on foot, no word on anyone who's caught him. So this guy has
He filled up for gas and didn't get caught?
Correct.
You buried the lead, Gina. The cops pursued a shoplifter?
Yeah.
Right. I know. So this is funny. I don't know who's in the chopper here, but this is the NBC4 audio of them just trying to make sense of this.
And we're going to move in that way. Ran into the store once again. Went to the pumps. Here he is, back out. A very quick stop, and there he is, pumping the gas.
Wow!
Yeah, exactly.
Are the cops in their cars? Are the patrol units not around?
Haven't gone up to him yet.
Oh my
God. I have not either. I've always thought about it. I've always thought about, is there ever a pursuit that they refuel and then keep going? This is it.
This is...
Well, he's got plenty of time. So far, no officers approaching. We'll keep an eye as I come out wide. Just no units there yet, and we're hoping that that the CHP is aware of the locator here. I'm looking out the window trying to find the airships, and maybe my pilot, Tim, can help me. But there he goes, back out. It's a quick pit stop for sure.
Oh, hey, Christ, he's got the squeegees doing the windshield.
Oh,
this is brazen. Now he's checking the air in his front right tire.
It's unbelievable.
A little water in the radiator.
Jesus Christ.
You don't see, they don't often, because trust me, anytime there's a chase during Conway show, we stop everything.
Oh,
we
stop
down and we do the whole chase. Every once in a while, I didn't realize because I wasn't watching them often enough, if they go into any parking structure, it's perfect because the choppers can't see them. They don't know if you're going up and down the stairs inside, if you're running into the mall, running into the hospital. Whenever there's a parking structure, that's generally where we lose them.
Natalie Portman, number 46 last year.
Oh,
hey,
that's
girl,
offensive.
You better up your game. Come on now.
It's her fault.
It's embarrassing.
No, you better up your game.
Oh, yeah. I better up my
despicable.
Game.
Despicable.
All right. Let me hit Geico here. Yeah, we'll do the top 10 of women most disgusted to have sex with me. First, I'll tell you about Geico. I love me some Geico. You want to save 15% on your auto insurance? You go with Geico. You just hop on, go to geico.com and spend a couple of minutes and see just how much you could be saving on your automotive insurance. You could also do it for your RV, motorcycle, whatever you need to insure. Go to Geico, spend 15 minutes and figure out just how much you could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance at geico.com. Who's in the top 10?
Last year, number 10 was Kamala Harris. Followed by Elizabeth Warren.
Oh, yeah.
And then Greta Thunberg.
Oh, yeah.
AOC was number 7.
Mm-hmm.
Soccer player Megan Rapinoe.
Oh, yeah.
Number 6.
Oh. Yeah.
Number 5 was Ilhan Omar.
Mm.
Wow.
Lynette came in 4th.
Mm. Didn't crack top 3.
Anderson Cooper came in 3rd.
Oh, interesting. Mixing it up.
Allison Rosen in 2nd.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
And Alyssa Milano.
Oh.
At the top of the list.
Well, they all belong. You know, who are you going to pull out?
Yeah, who you got to boot?
You got to boot someone, make room for Portman. All right, we'll see you at the end of the year. What else we got, Gina?
Well, I have another chase story that is also pretty insane. A couple in Oklahoma met on a dating app earlier this week and went on a date. Turned out to be a high-speed police pursuit. This dude named Brandon Hembry from Tulsa, Oklahoma, met this woman on this dating app, and they went out Wednesday night. But as they were driving, a cop tried to pull him over, and Brandon took off with the girl, the date, in the car. So the first date turned into this high-speed chase. It ended after Brandon blew through some stop signs, finally decided to pull over. It turns out he had an outstanding warrant for 5 traffic and drug cases. And now he's also facing more charges, including eluding and obstructing an officer. The cops let the girl go. She said she didn't know he was wanted. They were on a blind date. She doesn't know what's going on. And there's probably not going to be a second date.
They used to start... Like that was in the 70s, they would start a movie that way. Mm. Like it's kind of a Smoking the Bandit. I think you guys, Brian, may be surprised to realize that Ron Howard starred in a couple these weird bee chase movies.
Wow.
Yeah, that is surprising.
From the 70s, like Eat My Dust and Smoke My Chode, I think was the follow-up. Oh. No, Grand Theft Auto or Eat My Dust. He made, so Ron Howard was a movie star for like 10 minutes, and he made these kind of weird, hacky, and I think those were, what's the name of the directors, the king of the sort of horror schlock?
Roger Corman?
Yeah, I think they were like Roger Corman movies, maybe. Eat My Dust was 1976, Grand Theft Auto was 1977. He made these, maybe Macon County Line, or that was probably another one of those. They made a lot of, like, car chase, girl in the back movies. Charles B. Griffin did Eat My Dust. But, yes, Ron Howard starred as, like, outlaw young car driver guy. If you play the trailer, if you find the trailer to Eat My Dust, you're gonna laugh your fucking ass
off. With an exclamation point. Eat my dust.
Yes, eat my dust, biatch. So I don't know why, but that kind of reminded me of, like, it was always some hot chick. All you needed was a souped up car.
Produced by Roger Corman.
Oh, it was produced by Roger Corman. Oh, okay. Thanks, Max Baff.
Sorry, I was looking up the director and writer.
Yeah, get you. I'm wrong. Gotcha.
I didn't say you were wrong.
Kind of. Anyway, yes, you could put a hot chick in a car with a Hemi and just have it do burnouts and have the cops chase you. And that was about it.
That's a real casting against type.
Yeah. Yeah, it was Ron Howard. You have the trailer for that?
I got more speeding tickets than anybody else in the county.
I want to ride in that car.
They steal a super stocker and tell the world to eat my dust. Darlene is in the fast cars. Hoover is in the Darlene. When they get their hands on 700 horses, they've got to get into trouble.
What's this?
They're all about to scream and squeal and shattering smashathon. A hot date in a hot car, cruising at 150, rubber burning, and Smokey can't put it out.
Let us just blow them away.
They just take junker cars and, like...
I suggest you call the Strategic Air Command.
What, can they catch us?
Yeah, if I run into a wall or something.
All they just do is take junker cop cars and just roll them.
Hoover, you're outrageous.
Ron Howard pops the clutch and tells the world to eat my dust.
I assume
the Blues Brothers was a parody of all of these styles of movies.
I guess.
In a sense, with just the absurd amount of cars just piling out.
In this, yes, that scene, yeah. In the 70s, the conceit was, well, not even the 70s, the worst movie ever with Jimmy Fallon, Taxi, and Queen Latifah. Yeah. The conceit of both these movies is, if I could get my hands on like a Winston Cup NASCAR, then no one could ever catch me. If I had 400 more horsepower than everyone on the road, then the fuzz could never catch me.
It's academic at that point.
I could do whatever I wanted. I could get all the hottest chicks, and they could never do anything. It's like, he gets hold of a stock car from the 70s. And so thus, that's the whole movie. I get a stock car from the 70s, and no one can ever catch me. And there's a hot chick in the passenger seat.
Simple enough.
Eat my dust. There you go. It's weird seeing Ron Howard in that role, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so... Ron Howard wrote a comedy with his dad called Tis the Season and raised half the budget from Australia. And he met with Roger Corman and agreed to star in Eat My Dust if Roger agreed to co-finance Tis the Season. Corman said no about Tis the Season, but Howard appeared in Eat My Dust and was allowed to develop a second film, which he could direct and star. And that film was Grand Theft Auto.
Wow. Well, yeah. There you go. All right, let's do one more, Gina Grant.
All right. Well, we've talked about how music affects people. We've talked about that a lot. And guess what? It also affects animals. So according to a new study, dogs are more partial. Actually, I'm going to have you guess. There's two kinds of music that this study says relaxes dogs and that they like the best. Two genres of music. Any guesses?
No, you never go wrong with classical.
No, like classical is the obvious answer, right?
Another study says that classical has a calming effect on dogs, but this study from University of Glasgow in Scotland did not pick classical.
Folk.
Bagpipe music.
Yeah. Folk music.
I was going to say jazz.
It's got to be jazz. It's got to be something without voices, right?
Interesting, both of you. You're kind of circling. Reggae and soft rock.
Dogs are dumb.
Most calming. Yeah.
Dogs are stupid.
Yeah.
Is it the rhythm of like the reggae vibe? I don't know. But, and maybe, you know, like yacht rock. Who doesn't like that?
They like Toto.
Well done.
Yeah.
Could have gone 3 Dog Night.
They like.
I was listening to that today.
They like Rick Springfield's first album. If you pull up Rick Springfield's biggest debut album, I think you'll see what dogs like. All right, let's bring it home, Gina Grad.
They like smell the glove. Mm-hmm. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Last but not least, Simply Safe. No one should feel unsafe at home, and that's why you go with Simply Safe. Protect your home today. Get free shipping at Simply Safe. Two eyes. SimplySafe.com/Adam. Got Rick Springfield's first album. We will describe what is on the cover of Rick Springfield's first album.
We're getting it.
When Max Pata pulls it up. All right, well, I'll give some plugs. West Palm Beach, Florida, coming up, Improv, November 20th and 21st. Also, you can download the Stereo app to hear my interview with Trump live. That'll be Tuesday, 9 a.m. Pacific time. And, yeah, we'll do live podcasts at West Palm Beach, Florida early, and then late we'll do stand-up shows. We'll do a Reasonable Doubt matinee on Saturday, and there it is.
There you go.
Rick Springfield, working class dog. It's a dog with a suit and tie, or a working shirt and a tie, and I guess a picture of Rick Springfield hanging out of the
pocket.
Yeah. Out of the pocket. So there, we're all right. On the nose.
Ooh, fun fact. The editor on Grand Theft Auto, Ron Howard's directorial effort, was a young Joe Dante, future director of Gremlins and Innerspace.
Wow. Movies. Yeah, it's interesting when you go back. All right.
That's almost as good as my secret about Hocus Pocus.
Scintillating. So, until next time, Adam Carolla for Gina Grad and Bull Bryan saying mahalo.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. And pick up Adam's new book, I'm Your Emotional Support Animal. Get it now at adamcarolla.com.
Hey, movie lovers. Who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.